24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked. Keep it locked.
Profanity Nation.
Yeah, it's the new era of man for some old school fans with a new school brand. We got money on the mic with the plan in hand. And Stat Pat to his left, they go hand in hand. And to the right, we got Simpster, he putting it down. It's the Profanity Nation, we running the town. Yeah,
it's the Profanity Nation.
Profanity Nation.
Welcome to the Profanity Nation podcast, where professional players deserve professional fans. We're joined here by Money Mike, Stat Pat, and Simsta. We have some good Laker info we are going to go over today. We had a wonderful experience with our winner from our Instagram contest at Lakers Stock. Came and got his courtside tickets, and we enjoyed the game with him. We're going to talk about the Lakers record right now. We're going to talk about the waving of Troy Daniels and some other stuff. Let's get started with the record. What are we looking at? What's coming up here, Pat?
So right now, of course, we're still holding strong at the number one spot, 45-13. I think we got a six game, at least we're up six games in the loss column on the next, I think the next one, next best team. But this right now, this week is like where the rubber is going to meet the road. We're going to actually play Philly, we're going to play the Bucks, and we're going to play the Clips. Now, if we want to get a barometer and seeing exactly how the Lakers are going to look against the top-notch team, this is going to be the time to go ahead and prove themselves. Especially when you have, you know, Philly is always going to be the matchup with the big guys, and then LeBron James and Simmons. And then, of course, I mean, the biggest matchup. I mean, I know we're talking about the Clips, but, I mean, I'm looking forward to Friday's matchup with the Bucks. That's going to be an awesome matchup. And then, of course, the Clippers, we still got to get some, you know, some payback on that. When it comes to the actual way they're playing right now, I know we just played against the Memphis Grizzlies, which got blown out. And then we had an exciting game yesterday against the Pelicans. So, Mike, what do you think because we won one and we lost one. How do you think that is, is that a true representation? Are we now at this point in time going up and down, or are we going to show some level of consistency, you know, especially with these big three, you know, teams coming up right now?
I mean, we definitely have to show, you know, consistency. The fact that we lost convincingly to Memphis, we have to go at least two out of three, or all win all three of these three big games with Memphis. With Milwaukee, you know, Clippers have to be a blowout, in my opinion. At least win by at least 10 to 15 points, just so that, you know we are aware that they're there. We know that you guys share the building with us, and you guys are not the best team in L.A., and that, I think this is definitely a statement game for that. Philly, on the other hand, they're a little hurt. They're a little beat up. So we should definitely be able to beat them in Milwaukee with level win, but it got to be close to competitive. You know, it has to be, like, go down to the wire. You know, it is, because if we don't do that, the record doesn't matter at the end of the day if we are not able to pull out these games at crunch times, because we're still not winning the games that we're supposed to win. And that's my issue. What do you think, Jeff?
Well, I think it's funny because if we don't win these games, we question our ability to compete in the playoffs and how well we'll do. Yet again, the standard is if the Clippers don't win, well, they're built for the playoffs, so it's okay. Philly, you know, they're like we said, they're having difficulties. It is a big game because we can't lose against Philly. I think that's the biggest pressure on the Lakers. You can't lose against Philly. The Bucks, they've got to step up, but in reality, if we're healthy and they're healthy in a seven-game series, I feel pretty confident with them. It's the Clips, really. It comes down to the Clips. Everyone is giving the edge to the Clips. We really got to make a showing on that game, and I don't care who's playing for the Clippers. I don't care if they sit Kawhi. I don't care if Paul George is playing, if they do or don't. Like you said, we've got to win convincingly. Now, we said that before, and we lost. Obviously, if we don't win, that doesn't mean squat. It means we're going to the playoffs, and we still play those
games. Well, I think it does, though. I mean, I think it does. We, you know, in the beginning, first game of the season, you could say, okay – they haven't had a chance to gel with the new team, with the new players. You know, Christmas game, you know, it was a big game. They were ready for them, and we should have came out with a victory, but we didn't because, you know, Patrick Beverly, you know, made sure that we were not going to win that game. This game three is, to me, is big because we can't even worry about Milwaukee until we get through the West. And when we go and have the Clippers and we also have Houston, I know it's a D'Antoni system and D'Antoni system never works in the playoffs, but if they get that, they gel, they could, you know, run us out the gym also. So there's things that I think we have to worry about over on the West. And this week is a really big measurement stick for me.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it. Well, there's a big stat that has been going on over my head that I can't really get. It's. Do you know the Lakers are actually number two in offense with LeBron James on the court? However, when he's not playing, they're 29th in the league in offense. It's literally a LeBron James-driven offense. It's basically, if he's not having a good game, and that's what I'm scared of. I'm scared of if LeBron, because if he's keeping us in the game that much, if he has a bad game, then that means we gotta pick up a 29th ranked offense and bring that into just respectability. And that's what I'm kind of worried about. That's what I would earlier when we were talking about Houston beforehand, and it, you know, it was like saying before it was just Houston. One thing that's glaring right now is the Lakers, the guard situation, the guard defense. If you're playing against offensive-minded guards, the Lakers are having a hard time with those kind of individuals. You see what John Morant just did. You see Westbrook went for 41. I mean, you look at the guards, and the guards are putting up – yeah, literally, they're putting up big numbers. And that what that does – and these are guys that have three-point shots. And if you notice, every time the Lakers get blown out, it's usually because we're missing our threes, or they're like making a lot of their threes. And so I say that the guard, like when I'm looking at these matchups, Clips, like you were talking about Patrick Beverly, well, they got Lou Williams, they got Patrick Beverly. Those guys are going to come into play. And that's really what, like you said before, Jeff, you don't care who plays, but I'll be very interested, even if they didn't have Kawhi or Paul George, how are they looking against Lou Williams, how they're looking against Patrick Beverly, because I'm looking at those matchups, especially when you see them matching up against Rondo, Caruso, Avery Bradley. So how are they going? I mean, and also like the Bucks, we could easily get blown out by the Bucks if Middleton is on his game, and that's what I'm looking at the guard matchups, especially with these three matchups right now, to seeing how our guards are going to step up to the plate. I mean, they did pretty good last night without AD, but that was because LeBron James with the offense. The night before, LeBron didn't play, and we got blown out. So yeah, I'm still like, that's what I'm looking at. If LeBron has a bad game, how are we going to recover? How are we going?
What's a LeBron bad game? I mean, offense. He could have a bad game offensively. He's still gonna, you know, throw out the dimes. He's still gonna get the rebounds. I don't think he's had a bad, all around game this year. So, offensively, as long as he's still dishing, you know, is it really a bad game? But you know, going back to the Clippers really quick. If we lose again, what I'm looking for is what was the loss? What generated the loss? Do the Clippers now have a game plan? Do they know how to play the Lakers, how to play AD, how to play LeBron? Is that what it is? Are we just having off games? Are we just not shooting well? Are we, you know, what is it? If they've decoded it and they've got a game plan and they display that, then I'm concerned. But I haven't seen that yet. So I'm still looking for that where, you know, there's something there. I just don't see it yet. Now, right now, the Clips are tied with Denver in second place. Clips are just below because they don't have as good as a record in the conference. But they're tied, and you're right, they're about six games back, 5.5 games back. So, you know, we're in a comfortable lead there. But I don't know. I mean, the game's big, but I you can never say it's all that. No regular season game is all that when you have your 45-13 record.
Well, yeah, I mean, Go ahead.
Well, I mean, look, that first place record, you know, is an amazing thing. It's a major stat, gives you home court advantage. But, you know, especially if we end up playing them for the Western Conference Finals, you know, that's going to be a 50-50 crowd because you know the Clippers fans are going to come out. So it's not really going to be a home court advantage. So we have to definitely go out there.
How if we play the Clippers in the Western Conference Finals? You think it'll be a 50-50 crowd?
I think it'll be a
50-50 crowd at the Clipper home games.
Yeah,
not at the Laker home games.
No, not at all.
Yeah, but I think, listen, I think it's going to – you're going to be – it's going to be just as loud both ways, you know, contentious. I mean, you saw – you know, Pat saw how it was even with the G League game, the Aliente Clippers. They were, Hearn was pushing down players. It was.
Yeah, it's gotten to be organizational now. It's not just it's like it's permeating through everybody. Like, you know, shoot, even the trainers might be having beef. We don't know. I mean, really, it's like to the point.
If you don't live in LA, you don't see it, but there's billboards all over LA, which is from the Clippers, and every single one of them is a shot at the Lakers, passive aggressively, a picture of Kawhi that says glam or grit versus glam, street lights versus show lights and things like that. They're all over LA. So there's definitely been a marketing push. And the players see this. We know that because I head south on the 405 to the 105 every single time I go to South Bay games. And there's a huge billboard sitting right there with Kawhi on it every single time. So every time the players are coming from the Brentwood area, they're seeing that, no question about it.
You know, it's one thing I noticed that when they made a trade for Marcus Morris. They made a trade for him. And that, as you can see, they didn't do anything. That wasn't even an offensive move. Like, that wasn't like an offensive move. And that's what what we were talking about, Jeff, earlier about what is their secret sauce? Have they figured something out with the Lakers? Well, I think they have. I think they perceive the Lakers as being soft. That's just my personal opinion. I think they view that they can get into the Lakers' head, and if they can make it a roughhouse kind of game, then they can go ahead and win. They can win those kind of games. They don't care if they win it ugly. They just want to win the game. So they're not trying to do all, you know, making
that Doc Rivers. That's a Doc Rivers championship. Yeah. Strategy, game plan.
Now, the cool thing about it, though, is we got the brother. So it's like, you know, it's kind of like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's kind of like hard for your aggression to be at an all-time low when you got your twin brother sitting on the – were you going to smack your twin brother? Not going to do that. You know, you're going to let him do the layups. Like, you're going to let him do it. So, I mean, look, maybe we're playing chess. I don't know what's going on, but I'm just saying, like, that move right there was almost like, all right, what are we going to do here, man? I mean, yeah, Morris does help us out. I mean, he does help us out. And I do like that he does, you know, what he does for Kuzma. But at the same time, I do think it's the toughness factor with the Clippers. But but that being said, we had to make also moves, you know, to get, you know, somebody open, or we had an open roster spot right now. And we had to get rid of, you know, Troy Daniels. And want to give a shout out to Troy Daniels for being there, been a nice guy for us, and being, you know, able to take pictures and letting, you know, signing autographs. And he was really a good sport that day when we went to go see him at his signing.
He's a Fanity Nation podcast favorite, absolutely.
Yeah, so wish him well. However, that brings us to the news of the day so far is it going to be Dion Waiters or is it going to be J.R. Smith? Of course, each of them bring things to the table. J.R. Smith has familiarity with LeBron James.
Why would LeBron bring J.R. Smith?
Well, let's talk about it. What would they?
I don't see why J.R. Smith would be a good fit at all. You know, on this roster. I mean, yes, he can shoot threes, but we got somebody that can shoot threes also. You know, he's older. What is he, like 34 years old? You see him not come through in the playoffs. I mean, I saw that. And everybody that knows me knows I'm big on heart and in the moment. And if you are in that moment and you do not know what to do, you do not know what the time is left on the clock, you don't know what move to make, I don't want you anywhere on my team. So I don't even know why that is even a consideration, you know, for him to be on the team. Dion Waiters is younger. He can shoot. He can definitely stretch the floor. And he's a better Troy Daniels. So if we're going to pick somebody, for me, it's Waiters. I mean, there's no way in the world I'm letting J.R. Smith through our team.
Their shooting is pretty comparable. They're 41.9% versus 41.2% career shooting for Dion versus JR. JR is a little bit better at the three, 37.3 versus 34.8. But you've got 3 inches with JR. So JR can defend the bigger guards. Mm-hmm. And that's something you're going to need. You're going to need someone who's going to be able to throw fouls at a Kawhi.
Okay, but are we really going to need that, though? I mean, Houston's going to play a small ball, you know. You know, so, you know, we're going to have to do something to kind of combat them a little bit, you know, because they're going to try to run us, you know, out the gym. And I know we can, you know, the game slows down. I know that, you know, we could go ahead and get our sets. But when they run, we need somebody to go ahead and keep up with them. You know, that's my opinion.
Well, I mean, there's like for me, it depends on what you want. Like, because both of the players we're talking about, Dion Waiters and also J.R. Smith, they're totally different, right? One is like more of a 3-and-D, that's the J.R. Smith. And then you have the other one, which is basically a ball handler, which, to be honest with you, it might not be a bad way to go, only because it gives us another wrinkle. We don't have that wrinkle right now on this Laker team. We don't have a penetrator that's actually going to go in and at least, collapse the defense and even either take the shot or get other people in off it. Now, Rondo does well sometimes, but sometimes the Rondo get in the lane and he forgets that he has a floater or he forgets that he can take it all the way to the cup. Like, he sometimes forces things in the paint because he really doesn't want to shoot.
He makes up his mind and then goes for it anyway.
Right. You know, and like I said, I am definitely holding on, you know, holding out hope for playoff Rondo. Like, I want to see playoff Rondo. I mean, I do want to see that. So it's not like I want to get rid of Rondo or, you know, or put him deep on the bench. It's just that if we did look at these other options, somebody's minutes are going to get cut. You know, so that's just the reality of it. And we have pretty much a 4-guard rotation right now, right? I mean, KCP, Rondo, Avery Bradley, Caruso and Danny Green. That's 5 guys that I can play. You had a J.R. Smith or a Waiters. Now you're looking at 6 guys playing. You know, you only put 5 on the court. Only 2 guards can play at a time. So, I mean, I don't know how it's going to fit and where they're going to get their minutes and how we're going to incorporate them and stuff like that. That's what I'm trying to figure out how we're going to do that.
How crazy is it that we're even talking about the 15th spot on the roster? You know, I mean, I think that, you know, usually you're not even talking about that person, about them even making an impact. You know, I think by 53 games in, we should definitely have our rotations already set and just have these people just, you know, ready for, you know, just in case an injury happens. And that's a little bit of the frustrating for me. Maybe I think it's, you know, might be a coaching issue that we don't have our 8 and 9 man rotation already.
Yeah, but we actually have that rotation. And we're just talking about deepening the bench, like Pat said, or like you said, in case something happens. Or maybe, you know, you get them in and they're streaky and they're having a hot game, give them a few minutes. Someone gets in foul trouble. You never know where they're going to come in. But we're pretty locked in on our rotation, I think. I think we all agree Caruso should get more minutes. I don't know why he's not getting more minutes. But that's okay. Let's keep him healthy. Maybe something's going on there. I don't know.
Well, I was going to ask you, looking at, like, we do have the, like you said, a rotation, but, and Jeff, I want to ask you this question, and probably because I want to get your opinion on it. When it comes to, because I know I banged the Kuzma drum hard, dude, on this podcast, and I bang it, and it almost seems like it feels more and more every I see him playing that there was a missed opportunity there at the trade deadline. I mean, I know we want to go ahead and give Kuzma a shot, but we were looking for big men. We were looking for wings, the defending wings. We didn't address that at the trade deadline. We were looking for a guard, and we didn't address that at the trade deadline, which is now bringing us to the point that we are literally scraping the bottom of the barrel for anybody with a pulse to come in there, which we have a player that is directly in our rotation that is not giving us the minutes that we were thinking that we were supposed to be getting from this player. So, Jeff, do you think, or maybe you don't think, but do you think it was a missed opportunity, or do you think that we should just pump the brakes on the Kuzma hate and let's see if he's, you know, and give him more time to, you know, to get comfortable in his, give him comfortable in his, I guess, new role, because now he's playing more of the three than the four since Markeith is there.
We don't have a choice. So yeah, we're just going to have to be patient. As far as was it a mistake? That depends on who we were going to get. If we're talking about getting the Morris brother, no, we got his brother without getting rid of Kuz. Who did we pass up on by not trading Kuz at the deadline? Then we can talk about it and see if it was good or bad, or at least, you know, discuss that. He's definitely not fitting in as everyone would suspect. You know, he's not the big three. That's for sure. It just looks like it's a fit issue. It doesn't look like it's really a Kuz issue or so forth. It looks like it's a fit issue, which kind of concerns me back to, again, even what we're talking about, certainly back to Clippers game plan. Is it a coaching issue that when LeBron's out, we drop so far down in offensive ability that so much relies on LeBron in that situation when we have so much other talent that could play, should be playing, and should have some sort of chemistry and you know, again, a second rotation out there? Is that coming down to coaching? Is that coming down to, I mean, at some point you got to say, well, LeBron's doing everything he can. It shows.
Well, I think it definitely has to come down to coaching, because I think the roles haven't been defined. I'm not confident when I'm watching the games that I know when Kuz is going to come in. I know how many minutes he's going to average per game. You know, he's that type of player that needs to know his role. I think if he knows, like he had that great game when LeBron, you know, sat down and didn't play. You know, Kuz like, all right, cool. You know, I'm going to get these amount of minutes today, and he showed you what he could do. He had a great game. I think if they just go ahead, lock down their rotation, and they have it defined exactly what you're going to do, it'll be fine. But when it's to Pat's point in the beginning of the podcast, the fact that LeBron's carrying the ball up, LeBron is, you know, calling the offensive plays, or LeBron is doing so much, and when I feel that should be the guard play, that should be, focused more so on that, where he can play maybe a little bit more off the ball, then I think our offensive production would be a lot better if LeBron wasn't there. I'm talking about when not off the team. I'm talking about when he's
off the bench. It does almost feel like it's our offense is a read and react based on LeBron. It's not really a set rotation of play. It's a read and react based on, okay, well, if LeBron goes baseline, this is where you guys are going to go. If LeBron goes out on the key, this is where you guys are going to go. You know, it's, right. It's read and react off of LeBron.
Yeah, it's like you said, basically, if he's in post, spot up for three-pointers. If he's driving, you know, slide into a, you know, a spot where he, you know, can find you in the kick out. You know, that's what he, you know, like you said, the offense is basically geared around. I mean, it has to be. If the total offense, I mean, number two in the league, and it's because of LeBron James, I mean, that's the only reason why people are putting him in you know, the MVP category right now.
Okay, so off the top of my head, how many games have we – what's our record when LeBron hasn't played? Because I don't remember us losing. We have to look that up, maybe put it on another podcast.
Okay.
I really am interested in knowing what is the Lakers' record when LeBron's not playing. Because, I mean, it's one thing, you know, numbers always can be skewed. Yeah. But it seemed like I remember, like, I mean, let me know if you guys remember a game that we lost when LeBron wasn't there. I always said the Lakers won, and they actually won convincingly the times I know that they won. And it was always like LeBron wasn't there, but they won convincingly.
Well, the Memphis game, right? But the Memphis game is the game that he didn't play, right?
No, he played in the Memphis game. He didn't play the game before against the Warriors. He was laughing at Draymond Green. And, okay, and we so had, I mean, granted it was the Warriors that he did not play on, and we did beat them convincingly. And I know a couple other games we did beat our opponents convincingly. But I really am interested in seeing what their record is and what the stat lines are. We have to research that and probably follow up on this. What are the stats of when LeBron's not playing and the other players, as in the Kuzmas or the Carusos, you know, the players that we're talking about, when they know LeBron's not there, they have to step up and play. What's our record and our offensive, continuity when that's happening? Because, I mean, it's one thing, what I'm saying is this. It's one thing when he's there, you know, he's playing the game and he's not playing, and then he's on the bench. Is that what's going down to our ranking, where they're just not because they don't know what their role is in that game? Or
their role is predicated based off of LeBron's play. So when correct. He's not in, they don't have that chemistry. They don't have the plays. They don't have the offense structured so that they have that rotation down. They just don't have it.
Which is weird though, because like you were saying though, like Mike, if we're winning games and he's not playing a whole game, but we're winning games, there have to be some sort of rotation in that game to make up for his absence. So it has to be like you said, maybe it's a mental thing. Maybe they know they don't have to worry about LeBron and have to lean on him and let him do all the heavy lifting. But if they're balling without him on the court when he's not playing the game, they should be able to tap into some sort of, some of the offense in the game that he's playing when he's sitting on the bench. That's what is baffling to me. I don't understand how all of a sudden the offense goes down, when he sits down on the bench, but when he's not playing the whole game, we're scoring 115, 120 points without him. So I'm saying, what plays are you running when he's not there? Okay, maybe some backdoor cuts, some easy cuts, for Kuzma. Get him going, We have players that are specialists. Let's get these guys some open three-point shots. If his job is to shoot a three, then let's go ahead and move that, that's what I just think. I just think that there are some things that he has to tweak in his offense to help those guys out, because I don't really believe that he's, he is definitely – has the LeBron James crutch that he's definitely leaning on. That's Vogel I'm speaking about.
Yeah, it's crazy that you have the best record in the league and we're saying that they have to tweak the rotation and they have to, give more minutes and the coaching is
questionable. I think we're saying we have to tweak the rotation because we don't know what the rotation is. Do we? like, you know, like, I'm sorry, man. You know, when we was winning championships, the field was there. You already knew Kobe was going to, you know, play the whole first quarter. He was going to come in at the 8 minute of the second quarter. You know who was going to take his space. You knew those things. You just do not know that right now. You know, and these players need an opportunity to know when they're going to be the first man, second man, third man off the bench, and where those minutes are going to come. You know, who are you going to play with? You know, who's going to sit down at that particular time? They need to know these things. And then that way you can have way more continuity. And I just don't think for some reason they have that, you know, 60% of the season in.
I will say that it appears to me that we adjust too often to what the other team is doing. So we're out there and Vogel will go small to compete against what another team is doing, going small. And I'm kind of the opposite mind of let's go ahead and utilize what we have and let's go big and let's force them to make the changes. That's something that I think Phil would have done back in the day. He said, these are our strengths. We're going to stick with it and make you adjust to us. It would appear to me that we do a lot of adjusting to other teams then, and then that messes with our rotations and that messes with our continuity. Because we're constantly switching up, whether we're going big, small, and that may switch from quarter to quarter or from half quarter to half quarter.
Right. I agree. I agree, definitely.
Excellent. Well, guys, this has been a great podcast. Another half hour done. Yeah. Everyone? Absolutely.
Want to go ahead and talk about, say what's up to Alex and Sergio. You know, they were the winners for our contest. Again, we're going to do another contest, you guys, real soon. They came, had a great time. Yeah, they sat courtside. They got to take a picture. Got a chance to take a picture with the Lakers trophy. Got to meet Reggie Hearn and Costas. I'm sorry, I don't want to butcher his last name. Costas Albany Dupo. And who was the third guy? Kaycock. Kaycock was there. Nice. Yeah, so I got a picture with Teron Lou. He was in the house. Sam Cassell was there. Doc River was there. It was a great night over at South Bay. And the winners got to come there with free courtside seats. And I was telling Pat, you know, hey, I'm at the upgrade my seat. You know, we had the stereo. You know, the defense, you know, the Laker girls right behind you saying defense. those sites are, those seats were really great. So, it's a really fun experience, guys. So, you know, South Bay won the game and it was real chippy. So, you know, hey, we would love to have you guys come out to, follow us on Instagram. And we're going to have another contest real soon. So that way someone else could be a winner and come and experience Profane Nation hosting you at a South Bay Laker game.
Yeah, that was awesome. Pat, you enjoy your time with that?
Enjoy my time with Sergio and Alex. I mean, we were just, we were just in line waiting for getting our autographs. We're just, chopping it up and to talk about how you listen to the show. They actually like the Lakers and, live, they're local. And they seem like really cool people. And I'm glad they made it and had a great time. And would love to have them, to see them at any more of those games, in the future. Because I think they did have a good time. And I think, that game also was, like Michael said, very exciting. So if you go to that game and that's your first South Bay Laker game, it did leave a little impression. So, hopefully they had a great time. We had a great time with them. And hopefully we can see them in more games and keep listening to the podcast.
Absolutely. And if you guys want to see pictures, be sure to follow us and find us on Instagram because we've posted pictures of that great experience and our winners there, along with Money Mike, Stat Pat, myself. It was really a great day. So can't wait to do it again. All right, everybody, thank you for joining us at the Profanity Nation podcast. As always, have a good night.